Hofada, Wednesday the 11th of March, Rabbi Eli Rowe, causing damage to Shmita fruits.
I want to talk about something which is very practical, especially for people living in Yerushalayim or those who come to visit. And also practical here, if you should come your way, some pears, fruit which grew during the Shemitah year, pears, shvias. How to treat them? You all buy, sometimes you might buy an estrip from Shemitah, somebody might bring you a present. Usually you're not meant to bring pears, Shemitah to Eretz Yisrael, to England, or to Chutz La'aretz. But if it happens, how must one treat them? And be careful not to damage them or cause them damage. Or is there such a thing? The pasuk says, "Vayis Shabbos Haaretz Lachem La'Ochla," that the produce of the land that grows during Shmita is permitted and indeed should be eaten. It's meant to be eaten, La'Ochla. The Gemara says, not just is it meant to be eaten, La'Ochla, but Lo Yilehefsed. Gemara Pesachim, pasuk has to make sure not to damage Peir Shmita. So if you have an apple, it looks like any other apple, but it came grew during Shmita, so we must not damage it. La'Ochla V'lo Yilehefsed. So usually that's a friendly mitzvah, it's very easy. I mean, why not eat? But if many times the person isn't in the mood of eating that fruit, and then he has a problem, what can he do with it? Does he have to leave it in order to rot? Does he have to force himself to eat it even if it's a little bit not to his taste? Is he allowed to leave it in a place where somebody else will damage it on his behalf? Can he leave it outside where the rubbish collectors will come and throw out? Can he leave it where an animal will come and eat it? Is he allowed to do something passive that will make it get damaged? Or do we say no? Any causing of damage of Peir Shmit is also because the Torah says, La'achla v'lo yilehefsed. And there's many sources around Shas which discuss this. They will come out, there seems to be two or three different schools of thought. I want to discuss them for a final psak. Please ask somebody else. The first proof that we have is the Tshuvas Maritz. The Maritz of Rav in Yerushalayim about 400 years ago, one of the fathers of Hilchos Shmita. So he had a very important question. And that was how to feed the silkworms during Shmita. Because as we all know, or we do have to read this Tshuva, silkworms eat leaves of a particular plant. And this plant also has fruits on it, some kind of berry, I don't have the name here. But there's fruit which grow which people can eat, and there's leaves which the silkworms like to eat. So the question was, are we allowed to strip the leaves off the tree and feed them to the silkworms? And what's the problem? One of the problems is that by doing so, the fruit will not develop properly. Because the fruit needs the leaves, you can tell me the science how it works, but they need the leaves to help them grow. And if you strip off the leaves, the fruit won't grow. So they asked the Marit, are we allowed to take the leaves to feed the worms? And then our fruit will die. Says the Marit, it's muta. And the Tshuva Simon Pei Gimel, he has a long arichos. In the middle, he quotes two rahas from the Gemara Yishalmi. That we see that even though you're not allowed to die and be mafti perishvies, and to walk on them, or tread on them, put them in the fire, but if you do something that will cause it to get damaged, that is actually permitted. And his case is from Yerushalmi. His first proof is from Yerushalmi, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph. And I'll read you the words, and afterwards we'll see a couple of explanations. The words are, Hadok Kedifte Diyaka, Maskin Leile Igra, V'yiyav Shamin Garma. So Kedifte Diyaka is vegetable peels, usually the bits that people don't like. So it's been removed from the vegetable. So what do you do with it? Maskin Leile Igra, you take it up to the roof. V'yav Shamin Garma, and it will dry by itself. V'yav Shamin Garma, it will dry by itself. Now the question is, why is a person putting it on the roof? Is he trying to make raisins out of his carrot peels? What is he doing? So the Marit, well, start with the Pnei Moshe's Pesha. The Pnei Moshe was the main Mefarash of the Yerushalmi that we have printed. He says, we're talking about here completely different thing. We're talking about the time of Biel. The time of bio is when there's no more fruit left in the fields, then you have to take all the field fruit out of your house, and of course some pinyons you have to actually destroy them. So the time of bio, says the Pnei Moshe, what's happening is, you have these leftover vegetable peels, which you don't want to eat, and you don't have to eat because, we'll see. And there's time of bio, so you have to destroy them. So the way to destroy them is, you just put them on the roof, and that's the way you destroy them when the time comes to destroy them. That's the time of bio. So according to Pnei Moshe, we're not actually talking about somebody who's trying to damage his fruit against Allah. We're talking about someone who, the time of bio has come, when the time of bio comes, then yeah, they have to be destroyed. But the Maharit says that the simple pshat is, that the context of this Yushalvi is talking about, it's forbidden to feed your perished fears to the animals. Because that's also kind of damaging it. People, when something is useful for a human, to give it to an animal, so that's making a loss. It's more valuable for something to be human food than to be fodder. So that is a loss. So says the Yushalvi, normally, you wouldn't be allowed to feed it to your animal. Animal food, you are allowed to feed. What do you do if you have vegetable peels that you don't want to feed to an animal? So what you can do is, you can put it on the roof, and then it will dry in the sun, then it will be too hard for humans to eat, and now that it's too hard for humans to eat, so it's become animal food. Now that it's become animal food, you can feed it to them. So what do we see? We see that even though you're not allowed to be or die and take the food and feed it to an animal, you can't walk on it, you can't damage it, you can't put it in the fire. But to put it on the roof in the sunshine where at the end of the day or after a few days it will dry up, so you cause damage. Causing damage is permitted. That's the cause of barit, the first Yushalmi. Therefore he says, back to our silkworms, they don't need to worry about being hungry in Shemitah, we can feed them the leaves, even though we know that indirectly that will cause that the fruit will be damaged, it's okay. It's okay, as long as the damage is indirect, that's actually permitted. So that is his proof. And just to say again, according to the Pnei Moshe, that's not the case. According to Pnei Moshe, we're actually talking about here when the time of bio comes, when we have to, when we have to get rid of those perished fruits. So we're talking about the time of getting rid of, which is a different halacha. The time of bio. According to the Maharit says you have Yerushalmi that as long as it's a slow, indirect process, it's actually okay. The Chassidish, also in Simon Yudalit, he also has a different way of explaining the Gemara that's not a proof. I won't go into it now, but there is a way out of this proof. The Ritvaz, famous Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, about 100 years ago, also one of the big writers on Hilchos Shviyos, he brings another proof that one is allowed to destroy perished Shviyos indirectly. And he focuses there on a question which was a favorite question in those days. We can see all the Rabbanim of the time talking about it in different ways. The Nitzin, the Shulam Tiskin, and the Teret Viva, and the Ritvaz. Ritvaz in the Sefer Pasa Shulchan, the Simen Hei, Sifkot et Aleph. And he has there a very big contradiction. We know that we're not allowed to destroy Perish Shviz, and we also know we're not allowed to destroy Perish Truma. Perish does Truma, they're not allowed to damage them. Or both of them have to be eaten. The question is, the Gemara says, the Sukkah Lamed Hei, can you use a Luluf, Esrog, which is a Truma Esrog? Can we use a Truma Esrog? An Esrog on Shfosh Abaminim, which is a Truma Esrog. You would say, why not? It's kosher. The Kohen is allowed to eat it, let him use it. The Gemara says, Lechatchila, you shouldn't use it. But the Eved, it's kosher, but Lechatchila, you shouldn't use it. Why not? Two reasons are given. The first one of the reasons is, Mepnei Shemafsida, because you damage it. Says Rashi, when you hold the Esrog in your hands, so it begins to go brown, and the peel at least gets damaged. And we're careful of any damage not to make any damage happen to the truma. And therefore, you cannot use an esrog of truma because you're causing a certain amount of damage. I assume in those days people used to eat esrog peels. So the big question is that only few blat later, in Sugya Blamed Tes, you have a whole Sugya of how to use an esrog in Shemitah for Arba Minim. And it's quite clear that that was a normal thing, that you could buy a lulav and esrog, and the esrog is shmita, and use it for arba minim. So the question is, what happened to the issa of mafsida? Shviyos also does the issa of damaging things. Why doesn't it say over there that lechatchila shouldn't use a shmita esrog? Just like it says lechatchila shouldn't use a shmita truma esrog, lechatchila shouldn't use a shmita esrog. Mamash, we have the same halacha. Truma you mustn't damage, shmita you mustn't damage. And when it comes to esrog, truma you may not use it because it causes damage, and by shmita you are allowed to. Says the Ritvaz, from here we have a very clear proof. that causing damage is okay. We have to realize, when you pick up an esrog, it's not ruined straight away. What happens is, gradually, because it's exposed, it gets a knock over here and a knock over there, and it gets rubbed away, and there's germs and dirt, and then gradually it begins to get blemished and goes brown, and a little bit of moldy or ruin. But it's not something that you would say, it's like you dropped it on the floor, you broke it. By using it, you'll cause it to be damaged. So if so, it's only causing it to be damaged, it's not a ma'aser bi'adayim. So it doesn't matter, it's permitted. Right? Permitted, it's fine. And you're allowed to do that. Only when it comes to truma. By truma we have a pasuk that says, Mishmeres trumaisa. And from there we learn that you have to protect Peiros truma. You have to guard them. Oh, if you have to guard it, so then it's not allowed. Because you're not guarding it. By using it, you're being reckless, you're being careless. It's likely to get ruined. But when it comes to Shemitah, where the no din Mishmeres, so by Shemitah all you have to do is not damage it mamash. This is not called an action of damage, it's just called using. If the damage comes, it comes. It's called an accident, it's called a groma, and that is permitted. So there he has another ayah, that you're allowed to be bafsid with groma.
What's the kind of peel you
have? What's the kind of do, usually?
Peel.
They eat that.
Peel.
Lemon tea, I don't know. That's the kasha of a mice. That the groma says, it's a problem to damage it, Shumar. Maybe they fed them to the animals, maybe. But they made jam. But it was, that's not kasha on me. So the chayr is right, that's permitted by Shmita, you're allowed to cause damage. There are quite a few other tirutzim. You could say that really the damage there is very slight. And it doesn't always happen. And it's not even for sure groma. And it's more some kind of sofek and a chashash. And when it says in the Torah, Mishmeres, so then you have to be extra careful. Chazal made a takona by truma that you shouldn't use it. But it's only a takona midrabanan as an extension of the law, because it's not even a groma. Because it's not for sure, and it's not, and it takes a long time, and it may be a will. And therefore, really, it would be okay by Shmita. But in a case like the Maritz case, where you put something on the roof to dry, or you take off the leaves, that always happens, that the fruit will get damaged, we can't learn from that for sure that it should be okay. But the Ritva is understood from here, we see that because it's indirect and it's a slow process, so it's permitted. So these are two Choshuva opinions, Barit and Ritva, and these are their eyes. However, there's quite a lot of proofs the other way, and we'll see how far the other way goes. The first proof that is forbidden to cause damage is the Mishnah Shviz Perches Mishnah Zayin. And then it says, again, I'm afraid about Truma. But with Shviz together. You may not cook Ein Mevashlin Yerek Shal Shviz B'Sheben Shal Truma Shlo Yivienu L'Dei Psul B'Rav Shimon Mati. You're not allowed to cook in one pot Truma together with Shmita, because you'll cause it to become Psul. Shlo Yivienu L'Dei Psul. And Rav Shimon allows this. So what does this mean, you'll cause it to become Psul? So there's two explanations, one from the Rambam and one from the Rash. The Rambam says, we're talking about, the problem is because of the Peiros Shmita. Peiros Shmita, you're meant to eat and maintain as long as you can. If you cook them together with Truma, then you have a problem. Because although you can eat Truma and you can eat Shviz, if it becomes Tomei, which happens from time to time, a Tomei person touches it, then Peiros, then Truma, it becomes Asa. Truma, which is Tomei, is Asa. If you cook your Shmita stuff together with your Truma stuff, and somebody tummy touches it, you're not going to be able to eat your shviz things anymore. Shlo yivienu l'dei psul. You're going to pass on your peiros shviz. So you see, that's right. You're causing, by cooking it together with truma, you're enabling, you're putting on the halacha that if it becomes tummy, it will become asa. And that's why you mustn't do it. So you see what happens over here? It's sofek groma. It's forbidden. What's happening? Right now you're cooking with truma, you're hoping to eat it soon, or maybe in a few days, but as far as you know, you're going to look after it. I know you have to look after the truma. It could be that tomorrow somebody else will come, a tummy person, and touch it. And now, you are not allowed to do that, because in case that will happen, then you'll have to throw it out. So you mustn't arrange a situation that might come that you will have to throw it out later on. So we see how far, not only you mustn't do a ma'aser bi'adayim, not only you mustn't do a groma for later, but you're not even allowed to do a groma of a suffix of later. So this is a very strong proof that you have to be extra careful with Peiros Shmita, not to cause any damage at all. So, how can we get out of this? So firstly, there's the Rambam, and there's always the Rash, the Mishnah is right. We have the Rash. The Rash, and his Pshat is similar. His Gush fits better, first glance, I think, with Gemara and Mizvachim, which quotes this Mishnah. And he says that you got the Pshat the wrong way around. The real problem here is the Truma, not the Shviz. It's not the Shviz. The Shviz is no problem. There's no halachas of protecting your Shviz. You have to protect your Truma. When you put Truma together with Shviz, you're going to damage your Truma. Why? Because in Shvita we have a rule that once there's nothing left in the field, then you have to throw out and you have to lose, according to some opinions, you have to burn, according to other opinions, you have to get rid of your payers' Shviz. And at times the time will be a Truma, you can keep for as long as it lasts. But Shviz, you have to throw out after a bit. By cooking Truma together with Shviz, you're arranging that you have to throw out your Truma. And Truma, we have a lot of Mishmeres. So that's very clear. By Truma, we have a lot of Mishmeres, you have to look after it. So then, you must cook it together with Shviz. But we were never saying that you can't cook the Shviz together with Truma. That wasn't the problem. Okay, so it could be Rambam Bachleik, is the Rambam Arash. Who would we pass it like? Usually in Halacha, we go like the Rambam. So this, the Chayyar is a proof. A Rav told me that it could be this was a special takana. Because we do have a general din called Emevim Kachin Rebeis Hapsol. Which is a big sugi in Zvachim, but basically it says that whenever you have two kabbalas or truma and other things which are kodesh, you're not allowed to put on it extra stringencies, cook one korban together with another korban, like a shlobim together with a chatos. Now you're going to have to eat it quicker, or to keep truma together with kabbalas, because now you're going to have all the stringencies of kabbalas on them. You know, that's a general rule of halacha of Emevim Kachin Rebeis Hapsol. Which is halacha in b'mamai da'achila, any way of causing or making the more restrictions, put restrictions on something, Chazal made the general issa. And it could be with Shmita also, they included in that general issa, but it's not pshat, it's done because you're causing hafsid. It's a special gezeira over there about putting an issa on it. Like here we have Rav Shimon allows it. So what we're going to say, it's a machlekes about Marita and Necholkim, it's a machlekes tadoi. Seems a bit strange. It's more that there was a special gezeira over there in Hilchas Emevim Kachin Rebeis Hapsol. When you put an extra issa on it, that you shouldn't do. But stand to leave it in a way that it might get ruined, not because of the issa, but stand because we won't be careful with it and it might get damaged. Perhaps there's no gezeira. This first proof, though, is quite strong that you have to be careful in advance and think that if you cook it together with truma, you're going to have to throw it out. And the mashmoyis is we have a raya. We have another ayah. This is a ayah that you mustn't do something that will cause a problem. But we have another ayah that not only you mustn't do something, you even mechuyev to work to protect your perishvita. And we have to be careful how far this goes. Because in the older days, they had limited options how to stop something decaying. Basically, it was to eat it. There's a portion point I will say in a minute, that you could also pickle things, and you could salt them, and make them last longer. We don't usually find that you have to do such a thing. Nowadays, we have a lot of options. Just put it in the freezer, it can last forever. If you make yourself banana ice cream, Shmita bananas, and then for some reason it gets a bit freezer burnt, people don't want it anymore. Well, cause man is in your freezer, it's not going to go off. You might have to leave it there for 5 years. So let's see whether there is such halacha or not. So, there is a tesefta, which the Rambam paskens. And this really gets things very strict. Now, halacha is like saying you die. You may not feed payers, shviz, to animals. An animal using something is considered a waste, because animals could probably eat straw. So if an animal eats human food is called a waste. Only when it's only animal food, then you could give it to them. So, the Rambam says, and it's a sefta, Halcha behema me'eleo, letacha sateino. If the animal wanders into your field, and it starts eating some figs on the floor, it came by itself. Va'ochlo, ein mechayiv in oise la'afzira. You are not chayiv to take it away. Ein mechayiv in oise la'afzira. You don't need to take it away. You shouldn't feed the animal. But if it wandered in to eat, you don't know mechayiv to take it away. Shneema, v'levhem techa v'lechai asher ba'atzecha, tiye kol tvosa le'achoyu. The animals are also allowed to eat by themselves. If they come by themselves to eat, then you don't take them away because they have a shush to come. You shouldn't take a fruit which is yours and feed the town. Look what's happening over here. You're not mechuyev to take it away because the Torah allows you. This mashma, if the Torah wouldn't allow you to, or if the Torah wouldn't give permission for the animals to eat, then you'd be mechuyev to take the animal away. Not only you shouldn't do something to make an animal eat it, not only you shouldn't leave it lying around where the rubbish collectors will throw it out, not only you shouldn't leave it on the clean, on the side, what's it called? The counter, where your cleaner will come and throw it out, but you have mechuyev to stop the animal from damaging it. So how do we move? According to this, sorry, you're not mechuyev because the Torah says it's okay, but otherwise you would be mechuyev. You'd be mechuyev to protect your perish shvitz. So what do we do? So do we have to take all our food straight away and put it in the fridge? Or put it in the freezer? Look after it as best as we can? So there is a Mikdash David. And the Mikdash David makes a compromise. The Mikdash David, Rav David Rappaport, so he says, it depends what kind of damage we're talking about. We mentioned a few times that by Tshuva, the Zalach, you have to protect it. There's Dim B'Shemeres, you have to protect it. He says, is that true? Do you have to pickle all your fruit, all your Tshuva fruit? As soon as the Kohen gets Tshuva fruit, does he have to pickle them? Does he have to salt them? Does he have to tie them into raisins? Make it last forever? Very much seems that you have to do such thing. Even though they had those abilities. So he says, you know what the difference is? And along those lines, you have also in Derech HaBuddha from Chaim Kanievsky, there's two kinds of damages that can happen to something. There's natural decay, which happens slowly, it happens by itself. And there is hefsud be a daim of somebody ate it, somebody walks on it, somebody threw it in the fire. When it comes to just like, that's posture, he says. You're not mechuyev to stop natural decay. That's the first stage. You're not mechuyev to stop natural decay. If it's going to happen by itself, and that's the way fruit are, that if you don't eat them, they get damaged, that's okay. That's not your responsibility. It happens by itself, and that always happens. But in the case where the animal is coming, that's not natural decay. The animal is coming and damaging it. So there you have to stop it. There you have to stop it. And also the previous case we had, when you're cooking together with truma, so then if it becomes tummy, you're going to have to burn it. That's not natural decay. That's why you're going to have to actually damage it. So then there's a then we have to be careful about such things. So it comes out we have two sets of rules according to Mikdash David. When it comes to a real damage, somebody eating it, somebody walking on it, somebody wasn't meant, an animal eating it, or perhaps a guy eating it, and somebody burning it, or walking on it, then not only you shouldn't do it, but you shouldn't be going on it, like it says you can't cook Shemitah with Truma, and you have to protect it. If the Torah wouldn't give permission for the animals to eat, you'd have to stop them. Masha'ikain, something which happens natural decay, that he says we don't find that you have to stop. Not only that, but he says the Maritz proof could still be true. What did the Maritz say? That we have a raya that you could put things on the roof and dry them up. He says, since that's also only part of the natural process, gradually, that's what happens always to food, that it gradually becomes inedible. So perhaps you're even allowed to speed that up, indirectly. Because that's the kind of thing that would have happened anyway, one day. So we could be mekel on groma in a case where you're causing a natural decay. But in a case of causing an action, something you're not meant to eat it, or eat it, or burn it, or walk on it, then you'll have to stop it. This is only half a solution for us, because if you live in Jerusalem, or you go there on holiday, and you wander around, you see they have a lot of olive trees hanging over the pavements. And unfortunately, people walk on them. So during the rest of the year, you have a question, other years, you have a question about tashchis. Jewish Shemitah, could be, just like when you said, when the animal comes, the pasuk says, you don't have to chase it away. But that's only because the Torah gave permission for the animal to eat. But for other people to come and walk on Peir Shemitah, pashtus, you have to take a broom and sweep them to the side and make sure then they will decay naturally. But to allow people, even if it's not yours, you see the Mishnah over here, this Tesefta, that says we don't need to take away the animal, it's talking about a Hefka Te'ina. So nobody's Te'ina, and Shemitah, everything's Hefka. And it says if the Torah won't give permission, you'd be mechuyev to protect it from the animal. So therefore, we have proof, the Chayyim should come out, that if people are walking around and treading on Peir Shemitah, you have to protect it. You have to sweep the way. This is more or less paskud.
It's not only sweep away, you've got to make sure the cats don't eat it, according to you.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, the cats nowadays, they eat rubbish, and there's lots of leftovers of the dustbins, but they only eat olives. You're right.
The trees have to, but the animal belongs to someone.
Oh, so there is a pshat. There is a pshat. A different pshat over there. There is a, because these pashas are talking about hilchos animals, what they can or can't take. Some say that there is here something else. That the animal here, la ilam, you don't have to protect from shvita. It's not your responsibility. This animal belongs to somebody, and he's responsible for it. And so what? Now here we have a bit of a problem. Are you responsible for your animal damaging Peyer Shmita? Under which halacha is this? Is it under Hilchas Gedeva? Is it under Hilchas Bobed Havazik? There's no victim over here. Peyer Shmita Hefka for everybody. So you're saying it belongs to somebody, so he's responsible for it, and he's responsible for the animal. Under which halacha should you be responsible? So some suggest that it's mashma that Goyim aren't allowed to take Peyer Shmita. Goyim are not allowed to take Peyer Shmita. So the Chazanish has an expression, he says, Mitzad what? It's not Geneva, because the Peyer is a Hefka. And Amai, it's called, it's reserved for Klal Yisrael. It's Hefka, but it's reserved for Klal Yisrael. So if you say that, then you have room to say that if you own an animal, and you see it going to eat Peyer Shmita, you should stop him. If the Torah wouldn't give permission, you should stop him. Not because of the Hefs of Peyer Shmita, but because of the Geneva element, not quite Geneva, but your animal is taking from the communal pot that was meant to be for Peyer Shvias.
It's a problem
of meant to be for human beings.
Is it a problem of Vador?
Who's having a door? I'm having a door.
Yes.
Indirectly,
yeah,
through my animal.
Not, because you're not feeding him.
You're saving yourself.
You gave the animal permission to eat. It's your animal.
Huh? So, okay, so then what, which is this Vador? Geneva, which is this?
You can't have an animal of the Shvias.
You can't have a no. You're not allowed to have a no. Animals aren't allowed to have a no.
If you have bad perishables, if you have bad perishables, you can't even give it to a goy. You have to let it to rot.
No, because it's a no. It's because a goy can't have it.
You just said before they can't have it.
No, it's not a geneva, but the goy is not meant to take it. It's not because of bias a no. The perishables are meant to have a no, but you're meant to eat it. That's what you're meant to do. So now the animal is eating. But besides what? Normally we have a lot of Geneva, you have such a lot. There's no Geneva over here. Could be. I finish up with one halacha. And it's advice to you, Shalvi. It's trying to bring it down. We have a halacha that says that you have to eat it in the regular way. In the regular way, you have to eat it, not in a strange way. So for normal cases, you can't eat food that's raw, which are meant to be cooked. Potatoes or shmita, you can't eat them without cooking them. If you do want to be machmir on your estrog that you buy, don't eat it raw, because that's not the way to eat it nowadays. I don't know how you should eat it. But you must eat it in a strange way. Also, if it became moldy, says the Mishnah, then you shouldn't eat it either. If it's moldy in a way that human beings don't usually eat it, then you shouldn't eat it. But the problem is, we're trying to bring down a yushalvi, that not only you shouldn't eat it, but use a different expression. In the beginning of Parakhes, Mishnah Beis, Yushalvi says, you're not mechuyev to eat moldy bread. Ein mechayev in oisei lechov, kinivas yarek apasha ifshal. Because these things are not usually eaten by people, and therefore you're not mechuyev to eat them. What do you mean you're not mechuyev to eat them? Who said you're mechuyev to eat anything? It should say you don't have to, you're not allowed to eat them. Why is it you're not mechuyev to eat them? So the Rosh, underneath you, the Mishnais, Dost Rosh, he says, we have a rule, that you mustn't cause damage. You mustn't damage. Nonetheless, you don't have to eat something which people don't usually eat. And don't worry, okay, it's going to go even more moldy now, and it's just, nothing's going to happen to it. It's okay, because it's not usually, it's not edible for human people. Not only you shouldn't, not only you don't have to, you even shouldn't. But what comes out from the Rosh? What happens if it is still edible? It's just it's not to your taste. You have a problem. The only thing the Mishnah says you don't have to eat is something which is not edible. But it seems like from this Rosh that you have to go around eating as much as you can so it doesn't get wasted for nothing. Okay, it's a fun mitzvah. Everybody should do as much as they can. But in a way that's normal. Hashem should help us. We should make it.